Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Before we begin the show, a quick reminder to please take our survey. Just visit MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner that says Survey. It only takes a few moments. It's anonymous, so your info is safe, and it helps us out a lot. Thank you. And now, the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
What is the problem with parents and Easter egg hunts?
I thought of you so quickly.
You know, I never want to appear to be anti-American on this program. But I really, if you talk, and I certainly don't want to justify the maniacal crap that goes on. So let's take, this is not in any way directed at terrorism. This is directed at other people from other countries, maybe taking a look at the United States. And if they were to watch video or hear a news story about parents getting into a brawl at an Easter egg hunt with tiny little toddlers, you would probably say, yeah, this is a pretty silly place.
Right.
And I, you know, I have seen this with my own eyes when my daughters were younger, where the Easter egg hunt has gone from being something that was a sweet little activity for children, and it has turned into that the wonderful C word, competition.
Yeah.
And competition with parents who all want to get their eggs first, even though it's completely and utterly meaningless. And it happened again. Where was this? Pez? It's in the news that
yeah,
I have today.
The thing Pez. Is, the main problem here is the root is the parent that takes their kids to the Pez hunt. This yeah. is already a bad parent. You don't want to, well, what, why go to a corporate Easter egg hunt sponsored by that
well,
bad
see,
candy?
I think you're giving it to, you're putting too much on the parent here. I can understand if the Pez Easter egg hunt is going to be something cute and special and convenient, Pez. You would take your kids to it and I would take my kids to it. If it was going to be in the neighborhood and it was going to be convenient. You're right if they are going to this thing because it's going to have a bigger payoff.
Payoff, exactly.
A normal Easter egg hunt. Then you got trouble right from the beginning, see, which, Mike, which might indeed be true.
What you don't know is that Pez, this is a progressive Easter egg hunt, just like in a casino with the slot machines. It's right. a progressive, so it's big prizes and big money. And
was it big prizes? Was
no,
it big prizes?
No, it no. wasn't anything, but no, it was big.
Okay, I remember. I have fond memory. I have a childhood memory
yes.
of participating in an Easter egg hunt where I found in the notch of a tree at the Orchard Hill Community
hey,
Swimming Pool.
Nice notch.
I found the golden egg, and I got a Parcheesi board.
Wow.
That
Whoa.
Was, and it was one
That's
of the,
a
one
big
of,
prize.
It's yeah. a huge prize. Yeah. It was one of the great days of my life. I was happy about that. But I remember we had a wide open space and the eggs were all over the woods and the kids were running around. It wasn't these things where it's in the middle of a field. And I think what you get it, there's so many levels that I can
the
talk
many,
about.
Many, many levels. They've ruined it.
Because they ruin it by an Easter egg hunt. Is, I think, by its very nature,
yes.
supposed to take place near a wood.
Or
where
in
you
the
can
woods.
Hide, a wood.
Well,
the woods.
Yeah,
where you can hide the eggs. Not in an open field or around a country club or something like that. Where
Would
they,
you
they
allow
used to have.
A yard? A yard that has like some a trees?
Yeah, a yard if it's your kids.
Right, okay, yeah.
Because but when you enter competition into the equation, I mean,
grills.
It's just, I've seen a bunch of these and it becomes competitive. And you hear the parents saying, say, Billy, over here, Billy. It's like, shut the F up or I'm going to knock your face off, you
Wow, knock your face off. And Mike, yeah. really, what? Where's Jesus in all this?
Because Where is Jesus in this? No, it's the rabbit. It's the rabbit and chocolate. That's where it is. Where's the our Christ, our risen
where
Savior?
Where is Jesus?
See, on the third day, they rolled back the stone and they said, hey, what happened?
Hey, we found an egg under here, and I beat Billy Madison. Hey, lucky me! I got the egg. What a hump I am! I tell this story again and again, almost every Easter, about Elizabeth at the Easter egg hunt, and I sat up there. I might have had like a little orange juice, may or may not have had vodka or champagne in it.
Oh,
you know, little Easter, you know,
one of
Saturday
Daddy's
or Sunday
nuclear mimosas.
I was having a cocktail chat with my friends.
Sure.
The kids, they go, start the show. And they run off into the, you know, into the field. And I'm sitting there chatting with the other parents. Well, not all the parents do that. There are the parents that have to follow their children and assist them in that. And I think that's where you get into problems on what should be a sweet. All right, I hate to do this to the children of America, but I think you got to outlaw these things.
Outlaw. Really make they're them crap. Illegal?
I think they're crap.
Like lawn darts?
There are a couple of lawn darts, yeah. On the scale, you would have lawn darts, the piñata, and then the Easter egg.
Or you could turn into a civic duty where instead of picking up eggs, they pick up trash.
Oh, that would be great.
Fantastic.
The annual Easter trash pickup.
Yeah.
Something right. for the community. But there was this
spring spruce. And on the third day, we went to the recycle center.
There was a brawl.
Yes.
There was a brawl at this Easter egg hunt in Connecticut,
own
state.
I saw one who could have been a special needs child who complained that his bucket was broken. And there's nothing more tragic than a child with a broken bucket.
That's son.
That's not nice. Did that happen due to trampling?
Due to an adult being grabby and, you know, too assertive. He knocked the kid aside, bloodied his nose, and broke his bucket.
I tell you about Elizabeth.
He was wearing
a
helmet,
though. Elizabeth may have been 4 or 5, and she put the eggs. She took her eggs and put them in the basket of a little, like, two or three-year-old.
Really?
I tell you, she did that. I'll never forget it as long as I live. One of my proudest moments as a parent. But there are other parents that would look and see if, Johnny has the stuffed basket, and that's how he would measure the quality of his son or daughter.
Would you guys get quarters or dimes when you were kids?
Plastic eggs.
Yes.
Yeah. Big
right?
Daddy
that's
would get, do that.
Yeah. Quarters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Pesos.
There's a change in there?
Yeah. Sometimes that. Sometimes candy. Sometimes
yeah,
that.
Well, candy
Colombian
is
money.
The plastic eggs are the little candy. Yeah. Colombian flake.
Yes.
Delightful Colombian flake. Well, I think it's despicable. I think it's
Competitive. It's not fun anymore for these kids, I feel.
The really bad thing is after your daughter gave that 3-year-old the eggs, he said, "Is that all you got?"
Well, I think the whole thing is disgraceful. I think it truly is.
What did little Michael do?
Yeah, how'd you do Easter?
He had a couple of them at school that I didn't see. And then yesterday after church, they were going to have the big one. And we got out of Dodge. He did not participate.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
Well, we took him to the baseball game. We went to the baseball game, and the Easter Bunny was at the Red Sox game. They had with a Red Sox jersey, and that was
Jesus there, though.
No, he was not. Jesus was not there, but I will
Jesus
tell you about
played
the
for the
Bunny.
Rays.
this speaks to a lot of mascots, people that have been to sporting events. You can tell me whether you've seen this or not. There is the mascots are not about really nurturing the children and performing for the children or coming up and shaking hands. Mascots are about this and doing their choreography
action.
Got them the gig.
The dance.
And dancing on the dugout. They don't give a rat's ass. And this Easter Bunny, I actually walked down with my son to behind the dugout.
Yes.
I was holding my son. Carla was on his other side. And after the security guard, because we weren't in our seats, said, "Take your child off the dugout. Go back to..." He didn't say go back to you, but "Take your child off the dugout." We're like, okay. And then we're trying to get the a-hole Easter Bunny's attention. And you know what the Easter Bunny did?
What?
Went out into the field and stretched with the players and did a silly little sketch.
Aww.
Because it's all about the Easter... It's all about that man or woman in the costume performing on the field and not just, "You're an Easter Bunny. How about coming over and just waving at my son? Could you do that?" No. What you're going to do is you're going to sit there and do your break dancing out in the middle of the field. Hump.
How dare
Easter
you break
Bunny.
Dance?
And, you know, I think I think even among the mascots, but certainly the Easter Bunny.
They should be the most family friendly.
But it's somehow the scariest. It's much scarier than Santa Claus,
One of the greatest things online, and it's probably 3 or 4 years they've been doing it now, maybe longer, is the pictures of the horrific Easter Bunnies.
Oh,
and
yes.
The costumes that they have.
Yes.
They are terrifying. Absolutely
really bad.
Terrifying.
Did you have any of your kids, did they ever freak out at a mall picture?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at I can go grab it for
please
you.
Do
son, my son actually has
I
his
have
son.
Julia's first, and I think Julia's second because she was an infant for their first Christmas, but when each my kids were one, they are in tears on Santa's lap. Julia's
nice.
Is screaming so hard her mouth is square.
Oh, poor Santa.
It was the greatest
headphones. All right, this is my little guy right here. Do you see him?
Oh,
he's delighted.
Look at this. It's like he's been taken ransom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That Easter Bunny's a little fey.
Very anime.
Yeah, it is.
Look at
you into that?
Look at He's grinning.
He loves it.
Yes.
He's got a huge grin on his face because he's in between the age of terror. Yeah. Now he's past that age of terror now.
Big Bunny.
Big Bunny with sharp talons.
We went to the number one location for Florida people to see the Easter Bunny, and it was unfortunately too crowded, so we didn't get to have our picture taken.
The number one place, Mike?
Yeah, number one place to, and my niece laughs at this when I told her where we saw Santa Claus and we were going to go see the Easter Bunny. Would you like to know?
Yes, where?
This would be a good way to start the show.
Yeah.
Bass Pro Shops! Yes!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
It's good to be back on stage. I had to take the weekend off. My cousin got married Friday wedding. Cheap bastard. Yeah. Everybody take a half a day from work so we could save $1.99 on a plate of chicken. If you're not laughing, it means you got married on a Friday. That's okay. Good wedding. Catholic wedding. Where are my Catholics? Catholics in the room? Where are the Catholics? You're cheering like we're a team. I like that. Now watch this. Are you real Catholics or are you the Christmas Easter people? I love the Christmas Easter people. You go to church 2 days a year, you screw up everything when you're there. You don't remember shit. Because if you've never been to a Catholic Mass, a lot's going on. We're busy. We're working for that hour. They gotta sit and stand and kneel and it's like choreography. It's exhausting. That's why they feed you halfway through.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. A little more level on that, Rob. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. I just want to hear it loud because I like friends. Our show today brought to you by XXI. Are you ready for the next totally addictive game from our friends at TM Soft?
Nice.
XXI is here, and it's your next challenge. Grab the free download for your iOS or Android device and begin. All you gotta do is get a sum of 21. It says all you got to do is get a sum of 21 is every row.
In every row. You know, Mike, I'd like you to take a moment, if you would, and look at this beautiful game. Look, I have it on my phone right
now. No, I'm not letting you off the hook that easy.
Right there. It's gorgeous. I had so much fun with it yesterday.
Two words.
Mm-hmm.
Proof. Read.
XXI.
All you got to do is get a sum of 21 is every row and column.
That doesn't even make
sense.
Sounds
any, right? Just move the gems around the board until you find a solution. It starts off easy but gets more difficult in you progress. No, that says as you progress.
Well, Mike, that's just silly because when you say that, it doesn't make sense.
Just mocking your writing. There are 200 unique and challenging puzzles in XXI. Can you become an XXI champion? You can grab achievements while you play, share solution photos with your friends.
Solution photos?
And look for your name on the XXI leaderboard. Plus, XXI has beautiful music sounds and retina graphics that will look great on your phone or tablet. It's free for iOS and Android, and it's XXI. Like all great games, easy to learn, tough to master, and fun. XXI. Another winner from TM Soft. Give them a round of applause.
Yay!
Soothing.
delightful, soothing. All these games are great. Todd Moore comes up with great games.
Five stars, people. Five stars.
Give it five stars. Downloaded it yesterday. I got into it for like a half hour right away. You can't pull yourself away. It is so cool.
Soothing.
It is soothing.
Thank you. And we thank the business, Todd. We appreciate that. We sincerely do. So greetings, greetings, greetings. How is everybody? Seriously, I know I ranted and raved about Easter weekend. I had a very, very good weekend, a very good, nice little Saturday, and Easter Sunday.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
It was in the Olive Garden. It was lovely.
Lovely.
And then yesterday was church in the morning, and they caught me by surprise where they mentioned my mom's name at church. And they usually do single names, you know, like Mary or you know, John or whatever. And they did Mary Elizabeth O'Mara at the very top of the list. And I was absolutely, you know, just taken by that. I was, Carla said that when they did that, I sounded like a teenage girl. I went, oh, when they did that. So it was
did you keep it together? Did you tear up?
Yeah, I did. I don't think I would have if they hadn't done that. Does that make any sense?
It does.
The fact that they did it, there's a part when they give the people that have passed where you stand up and you mention their names, and I was ramping myself up where I was going to do a big booming one, which is never done in our church at all, and it was off the hook. I was very happy about that.
That's great.
And then very busy schedule because it was off to the baseball game, and then during the day, we had thrown a leg of lamb in the crock pot.
That is an excellent way to do it.
Leg of lamb. Mm. Yes, I've never had it that way. And then got home. I had one beer at the baseball game, and it was about 85 and very humid down here, which is normal for this time of year. And the one beer, for whatever reason, I haven't been sleeping as well as I normally do. And it just gassed me. And
murdered
by the time
you.
We got home, I was useless. I don't think I've ever been that useless to my wife, unless it's in the bedroom. Am I right, ladies?
Am I right? Crazy, right?
I just was a vegetable. I was a complete vegetable. I completely like vegged out on the couch and more than I normally veg out on the couch. I just you know, Carla said, "Can you walk the dogs?" I said, "No." I was just and then she had gone out, and part of our deal was going to be the little guy, Carla and myself, and we were going to, and she bought a really, really nice bottle of wine, and she insisted that I have one glass of wine, and so one beer and one glass of wine during the entire day. I completely was out of it, and the little guy was all wound up, and then to reward me for being out of it and not really sleeping that well, he got up at 4:45 this morning.
Now, was he all sugared up? Did he have an Easter basket?
Yeah.
And so did you
see, Carla, we constantly have this discussion. There are two things we talk about as parents. We talk about the fact that we're going to not let our kid watch a tremendous amount of television. He lives with Jake and the Neverland Pirates. He knows more. He recognized Jake and the Neverland Pirates more than he recognizes his own father.
Yes.
And the other thing is that we're going to cut down on his sugar intake. And I guess that's why that he had the entire little Tupperware mini filled with Trip Affleck's marshmallows at the baseball game yesterday.
And that's not code, is it?
Yeah, no, it is not.
Okay,
it is not code. But, you know, he sits there and she goes, well, and then Carla says to me, I give him those marshmallows. I said, why does he have marshmallows? That's like pure sugar. What are you giving him marshmallows for? That's ridiculous. Now, suddenly I sound like I'm from Southern California. Why are you feeding him marshmallows?
What? Marshmallows.
I hear this all the time, and I hear it at my sister's all the time as well, when I'm there, is screen time. What do you do to cut down screen time?
Screen time, that's the buzzword right now. Yeah.
Very simple concept, Oscar. Better parents. That's what it is. Cutting down screen time, like for example, he's up at 5:40. He's up at 4:45 today. That means at 5 a.m. he's awake. Now, what he does is he sits on the couch with me, and we just hang out and we chat.
That's
we're
sweet.
Talking.
That is
and
excellent.
He's really, he's kind of resting. It's still dark out. I tell him it's the middle of the night. Most people are still sleeping, and then He starts to stir, and then when he starts to stir, he runs around as he's playing with different things. And then we get to the point where it's 6:15-ish,
yeah.
And Daddy is out of ideas, and Daddy's got to start his day, okay? And that and Daddy's letting Mommy sleep in because Daddy's doing Mommy a solid
for Monday. But Daddy's got to work, too.
And some would say 6:15 is sleeping in, so up and at him, honey.
You know what? I let her go till 7.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's magical.
I let her go to 7. Yeah. And the fact is, at a certain point, Daddy's out of ideas. Turn on the magic box.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's good.
And he's got 40 minutes of TV watching because Daddy's got the news that's going to come on at 7 that Daddy's got to watch.
Do you TiVo stuff for him, or does he just go with what's on
TV? Do we TiVo stuff? I have a DVR that looks like a playground. Are you kidding me?
Am I right, ladies?
Are you kidding me? My DVR, I could go through it if I had access to it. I do have access. But anyway, I could look at it, and we've got the Chica Show. We have Jake and the Neverland Pirates. I can probably do this by memory.
All right.
We have...
You still doing Diego?
Diego, yes.
Staple. Go, Diego, go.
What about Kahlua or Kula?
Caillou.
Caillou.
Yeah. That
Caillou is included. So let me
hey, you know what? Caillou would have been a good guy to spot at that Pez Easter egg hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have beat him up. Is that what you wanted? Because you don't like Caillou.
Oh, I'd beat the crap out of him.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. Jake and the Neverland
really
Pirates.
Tough when you say that.
Yeah. I can take Caillou.
Go, Diego, go. Dora the Explorer. Mickey Mouse Club, we have...
Oscar should know that a Go Diego Go show. And Dora, they're sort of like parallel
they're
shows.
They're cousins.
Kind of like a Laverne cousins. And Shirley and Happy Days. Cousins!
We have also the my least favorite of all of them that he doesn't watch, thank God, anymore.
What?
Rough, Rough, Tweet, and Dave.
Now, are they still on the rock station down there?
What about Itchy hey. And Scratchy?
Itchy, no, we don't have Itchy. Rough, Rough, Tweet, and Dave has...
Hey, man.
They're the biggest gigglers, so everything they say has a little...
Oh, sounds like my type of show.
My name, Rough, Rough, Tweet, and Dave, and my hat is full of questions. And it's like, that's the type of cartoon where, oh, aren't I so clever with my little idea? He'll have a hat that's full of questions. Oh, bite
are Ren and
that's
Stimpy still on?
Ren and Stimpy has never been really age appropriate for him. Though.
Yeah. Do you look it's not at an age appropriate thing.
Do you look at Peppa Pig?
No.
Peppa Pig's a good show.
Zerby Derby. You ever look at Zerby Derby?
I have $5 bet on it this week.
The Zerby Derby. Derby. Yeah. We have that. Now we have my all time favorite that I like more than anything else. Little Einsteins.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's the one.
Give me
I love.
Give me a synopsis of Little Einsteins.
Little Einsteins are, well, they all fly around in spaceships, every one of them. They're all.
Is it a reality show?
Yeah, it's, exactly. Little Einsteins, it's musical. It's really musical.
How's
they
the
use
music?
Notes and they use artists. They have musical artists and like Picasso artists.
Oh, okay.
And it's wonderful. I think it's educational and it's good. My least favorites are Rough, Rough, Tweet, and Dave because it's too cutesy, you know?
Oh, and who went to sleep first? Dave. It's always Dave.
Yeah, the problem there is the writing.
Yeah.
It's the weak.
And then Jake and the Neverland Pirates, which as a, you know, pretty soon he's going to be 3 in July, and he's loving that because of the hyper-violence of it. And sometime probably at 6:25, I was looking at it, and I made this call, and I said, this is not nice, Michael. This is mean. They're mean. We should turn it off.
This is not nice.
Yeah, and so we're sitting there, and you know, we're also at the right, because you do it on their own time. Well, that's another show. I'll have to talk about potty training on another show.
Hey, what about the Wiggles? Is that still a thing?
No, we don't watch the Wiggles. We don't watch the Wiggles.
This is so sad that both Julia and Robert overlapped on the Wiggles a little bit because they're less than 2 years apart. When I went to the Wiggles concert with them, it
God,
was...
God, he's been doing it forever, Oscar.
Forever.
He's been you took them to the shows. You've
they love
entertainment.
But the thing that was so bad is that, like, outside of, like, a Rolling Stone show, it was the first concert in 20 years where I knew every song because they were on in my house all the time. They came out with Toot Toot Chugga Chugga Big Red Car, and I was like, dude, I know this song!
Do you know the Mickey Mouse password? To open up the clubhouse?
Ooh.
Oh, because no, I know the old Mickey Mouse stuff. I don't know the new one.
The new one is Miska.
Miska.
Muska. Mickey Mouse. That's what it is.
Miska, Muska, and Mickey Mouse.
There was an old one. What was the one that used to go Miska, Muska, Mouseketeer? There was a song. Was that for the cartoon?
Don't know.
Oh, come on. You're even older than me.
No, I don't. I mean, you mean the old Mickey Mouse Club?
Yeah, I think that was the theme for the Mouse cartoon, wasn't it?
Don't you think you're kind of...
No, it used to be M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
No, but there was a song for the mouse cartoon, I think.
Is it me or... I look back at old footage when they played of the Mickey Mouse Club, and it looks like a pedophile's dream.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jimmy Dodd's a dick.
That's now, why do you say that?
Do they have a standing crew?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they just had random kids come in and out.
Well, there was all the kids, but then there was also adults. There was Jimmy and there was Roy. And I understood Jimmy a little bit because he was sort of young, but Roy was like 60. And I don't understand why he would be there. No. That's not what I'm looking for.
That's it, isn't it?
No, but I'm looking for this. I'm looking for the mouse cartoon theme, Mike. See if you don't remember that. Did you watch the black and white Mickey Mouse Club?
Probably. I think an intro. God. Because they're all dancing. Twist our mouse down. I don't remember that.
How do you remember it, Rob?
I don't know.
Let's modernize it, shall we?
What year was this?
This is the early 60s.
Turn yours off. I'm putting mine on now.
Say, you want to come inside my clubhouse?
Oh, dear.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You got to answer.
Well, all right.
All right.
Let's go. Okay.
See? That's out in the field. It's an empty field.
I almost forgot. To make the clubhouse appear.
They got to say the password.
Say right. The magic word.
Magic words. Ready for
Miska,
that. Miska.
Muska.
Muska.
Mickey Mouse.
There we go. I love
say
this
thing. Say it
theme.
With me.
Okay, here we go.
Miska.
Muska. Mickey Mouse.
Bam. All right. Here it comes. Yeah.
All the kids take your shirts off.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
See, this is the modern version of it.
Much better. Yeah. Much better. All right, that's it. The old version just is creepy.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of creepiness. You know, there wasn't a lot of checks and balances at the Disney studios.
I know.
It's a lot of stuff.
Did you have to have the Disney Channel to see the Mickey Mouse Club? Because I knew as a kid on cable, that's what you had to have.
Yeah. I remember it. I had it before cable. I don't know. It might be that I also had the album. I had an old Mickey Mouse Club album.
Did.
So who knows?
Let me just play one more.
What about Guns N' Roses? You ever have that?
This is Jake and the Neverland Pirates.
They were very popular when I was six, Oscar, in the
you
early
believe,
70s.
Seriously, can you believe that I'm 56 years old? I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's terrible.
I think you're fine.
It's one he likes the most. The shores of Neverland, hyperviolence. Teaching all our kids to get in fistfights all together. That's why we will go to all the Easter egg hunts and get our children to beat up the other kids too. We are hyperviolence. Disney doesn't really care.
Do they have real straws?
Nasty. All right, what?
Sounds like the Dropkick Murphy.
Yeah.
It's like fighting in a bar.
It's like... You could take. Oh,
here's
please.
The hook.
Jake and the Neverland Pirates. They're gonna poke somebody's eye out.
Right, you could take The Departed, a scene from The Departed, dub this over. Mm-hmm. The Departed. I would say the scene where they're going and kicking down doors and breaking heads.
Did you watch The Departed last night? I did a little bit.
I watched it last. It's on TBS or TNT, one of those channels on the regular.
Oh, I think TNT has it like on a loop. Yeah.
But you could take that song and put it on there.
Nicholson comes out. Why don't you go see the pedophile priest down there? Yeah, Missouri. Let's get Leonardo DiCaprio.
Just off the shores of Neverland, hide away and see.
Yo ho! Yo ho!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Yo ho! Let's go! Violent little boys love it. Yeah, that's the way it goes. All the time.
Sounds like a good program. Yeah, I like that in Modern Family.
Well, I was wondering why, you know, one day he was sitting there and he had his little plastic plane and he's sitting there beating me on the stomach with it. And I said, what's that for? Well, he just watched Jake. Okay, makes sense now. No problem at all.
Beating
all right,
you.
We'll take a little break. We will come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening with Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, it's your buddy Oscar Santana.
And this is Todd Moore.
You know us from Tech 411, the tech show that's sweeping the nation.
That's right, and we are here to help get you all your tech news, reviews, and apps you need to own.
It's very simple, and it's absolutely free.
So subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the Moore Broadcasting Network.
And for the record, we're not banging.
I want to clear that up. Nothing that's wrong with that.
I think it's nice.
Wow, that's fascinating. Welcome back to the Michael Marriage Show. Brought to you by Blue Apron. I love Blue Apron. You're going to love it, too. You know that room in your house? It's got a sink. It's got an oven. It's got a fridge. It's called the kitchen. The good news is Blue Apron makes it easy. Besides, cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money. And what is Blue Apron? Real simple. Every single week, Mrs. O'Mara and I get the little delivery guy that shows up, and he's little. I just mentioned he's little. They're not all little. Some of the delivery people are tall, I'm sure. Our delivery guy that brings our Blue Apron, he happens to be little. I'm not kidding you. And he puts it on our little stoop out front, and we know that it's Christmas because we get to have things like, I'm holding it up right now, spicy shrimp spaghetti, which is one of the most delicious things I ever wrapped my tonsils around. And it's fantastic. It's Blue Apron. In the box, they've got the ingredients. They've got all the ingredients, the spices, the protein, the produce, everything you need, and instructions with giant pictures that make it idiot-proof like this. Look, step-by-step instructions that you get to see to make your Blue Apron. No matter what dietary preferences you have, Blue Apron makes it a snap. How about chicken fried chicken? With baked sweet potato and quick collard greens. Yum, yum. We are cooking with ingredients that we have never used before. We're learning how to cook, and we're enjoying the healthy alternative to going out or getting crappy food that you don't want to eat. Blue Apron is the best. Right now, you can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. Our treat, really, the first two meals are on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. And welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I want to say thank you to the crew. We had a lot of people over the weekend that were working very, very hard to install some new audio equipment, and it looks space age as I'm looking at it right now. So thanks to that, welcome to the digital age. And,
It's nutty.
We have a virtual audio board now, don't we?
Man, we are actually running the show on an iPad
right now.
It's crazy.
That is truly special, and took a lot of work for the guys to install everything, and I know Rob and Oscar and Pony are to be complimented. Anybody else? I wasn't there.
Diego and Mac, everybody stayed, so we wrapped up around noon. I think they got out of here maybe at 5:30, 6 o'clock,
so
appreciate
the time. Yeah, we got out of here at about
6. Yeah.
What was so amazing is Adrian is, like your Blue Apron guy, is little and serpentine, and I thought...
Oh, so he was able to get in all the tough spots that you normally get in, Rob.
Yes, exactly, Mike. Normally, I have to do most of the reaching and crawling.
Rob has to kneel to reach things.
Yes. What I did a lot is, I don't know if you saw the Marlon Brando.
Has your body begun to fail yet so that you can't, you can't spend a lot of time on your knees?
That's funny because you said begin.
It's so true, though. He's got to sit down.
I'm sort of like Brando in the Isle of Dr. Moreau.
Not that bright.
And,
yes,
the miniature person next to me is Diego. And I say,
we're going to need to run that wire. You're going to have to get under there.
I've never heard you do a Brando. That's wonderful.
Well, you know,
we can do dueling Brandos at some point on the show.
How you doing, Marlon? It's good to see you. Look at my boy. Look how they massacred my boy. What I've done is I've made a way to marry men and animals.
He's great.
He's doing Dr. Moreau, Marlon.
That is great.
You do the younger better.
Yeah. I could have been a contender, Charlie. I could have been a contender, Charlie.
I'll be with you in a little bit. I'm going to go ice skating now with Matthew Broderick. Have you ever seen me in that movie?
That's the freshman.
I'm very graceful for him. Yeah, I have my
and here's a trivia question for the freshman. Yeah. Game show host appeared in the freshman, probably one of the best parts of the movie.
Burt Parks. His first appearance is a close-up of his face, and he goes, tequila!
That is a weird... That's a seriously weird movie.
Great film, though, and you don't see it anywhere. And Brando does a great job of being sort of the veto guy again without totally trashing the character. It's worth taking a peek at with the late Bruno Kirby.
Right, exactly. Speaking of Rob Spiewak, let's go to Rob's Facebook page because I will spotlight whenever Rob has the funny line of the day. Now, I have to scroll down because there's so much stuff here. People just post on Rob's page.
There was
a
quick line, someone that mentioned that they had picked up their dad for the holidays and the White House Inn.
Oh, the Whitehall Inn.
The Whitehall Inn, said White Hall Inn, White House.
I saw that.
Easter egg roll. I saw that last night around 1 a.m. and I giggled in bed. So basically what happened is one of our listeners, wonderful listeners, picked up their father and they were riding in the car listening to the podcast and the Whitehall Inn commercial came on, the bit we do on the show. And his father said, he can't go there. That place has been closed for years.
And yet we keep it alive.
Yes.
Like he took it literally.
That was awesome.
Rob, it was your shtick that you were doing. You did it like this morning, but it's not on your page
about
anymore.
The White House egg roll. I said this morning, my first comment was that I find it very entertaining when it rains during the White House egg roll because you see all the people that are dressed as like bunnies and chicks and big fuzzy eggs. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he normally does this at 11 o'clock at night. You're doing this morning before, like right around the time you're doing your show prep. And I figure you were, you know, you're not drinking Crown at 7 a.m.
No, no.
Are you
but it was
morning?
Great because they had little umbrellas trying to keep, yeah. You know how heavy those costumes are going to be tonight? But I said, if you enjoy the, and I'll try to get this the way I wrote it. If you enjoy the White House Easter egg roll, don't miss the old executive office building Crab Rangoon or the Naval Observatory pot sticker. It reads better than it says.
Exactly.
What did that mean?
Let me explain the joke. Okay.
No. Let's do an autopsy.
Well, you have to do it. It's so unfunny that you have to do an autopsy.
No, it's not unfunny.
No, it is a pleasure for you and like three people that just go. That's the kind of laugh that you'll get from some of it. All right.
It's technically a dad joke. It is an over the top based on and I'm not saying it's because I'm a dad. This is how
they're bad dad joke.
It's how they're theorized, how they're categorized online. It's a dad joke. It's the kind of thing that makes your kid roll your if Pony doesn't stop making that face at me, I'm gonna kick him
I'm
out of the
I'm learning from you, Rob.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Learn to shut up though.
What's a bad dad? Doesn't it kind of approach pundum?
Oh, absolutely.
Which is your favorite style of humor is pundum.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
I love pundum. I think pundum is great.
Right. So the thing about it is...
I still don't understand.
Okay, the White House... Explain,
now, hey, I'm going to do the explaining, okay?
You're not, and you see, but you won't be kind. Be kind.
Well, no,
can you be kind?
But you don't expect me to be, and you would not respect me if I was.
You're
all right. There we go. So here it is. White House Easter egg roll. He turned it. Everything all right? Is everything going?
Yeah, the door is open.
Yeah, the door is open, Mike.
All right. So the thing about it is a Chinese pun because egg roll is a food item you serve in a Chinese restaurant.
It's an appetizer.
Crab. Thanks.
Well, thanks. Oscar's looking you blankly.
I didn't know that. No, he knows that, for Christ's sake.
I'm not an idiot.
Well.
All right. So the thing is.
We've got our topic for next.
Egg roll is an appetizer in a Chinese
restaurant. I get
that, yes. So is Crab Rangoon, which is really an old... First of all, it's a 1940s appetizer.
Yeah, I don't
you
think...
You hardly see
I've never
it in
heard
Chinese
of the name
anymore.
Rangoon, I think the closest thing Rangoon was is in Batman Begins.
And then pot stickers.
Yeah.
Pot stickers, which are Chinese dumplings, are there. So he did a play on words, and that's what he likes to do. A play. He would have been a super stud in a 1950s advertising agency.
I get it.
A modern podcast in the year 2016, this, you know, there are a lot of people out there going, what? Yeah.
Now I know. Could you try it again now that I have context?
All right.
All right.
If you enjoy the White House Easter egg roll, don't miss out on the old executive office building Crab Rangoon or the Naval Observatory pot sticker.
It still sucks.
Yeah,
welcome to Whitehall in Maine. We have exciting ideas for the Benson and Hedges account.
Can I ask you, since we're on the subject of your Facebook page, where incidentally I can never find anything because there is so much content on there.
Again, my fault.
What is your it is your fault technically.
No, it's not.
You've nurtured it. You reach out. You say happy birthday to everybody on Facebook. You nurture this. This
is what. Easter.
And most of this thing is your fault because you post it.
Yeah, but it's not my fault that you can't find it, bookmark it, or take a screencast.
No, because I'm not going to bookmark Crab Rangoon. If you want to do that, you know, I'll run over to the local nursing home and try to get some of the 100-year-olds that are doing sick.
I feel Crab Rangoon is still on most Chinese restaurant menus.
I bet I could make a case that you could probably go to 10 randomly selected Chinese restaurants online right now, and you would not find.
I mostly patronize three, and they all have it.
Yeah,
he's got three.
They don't have it at the Peking Gourmet.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, you were there recently, so you know that. Outside of that one, which one?
Wait. The Golden China. That's the one that delivers to our house.
He's got three different.
Well, sure.
Chinese places.
and his rotation.
One delivers, one we go to, and one we go to when it's fancy.
Usually people just fancy, have one.
And we save some for later.
That's right.
That's the way that goes.
You know, since Facebook has added that edit feature, maybe I'll put in hot and sour soup instead of crab rangoon, and then listen to the laughter.
I would understand
soup
that.
Soup wouldn't be, if you did soup, then it would actually not. It would have to be like fried wonton.
Not funny, though. Or that's not a funny appetizer.
Neither is pot sticker.
Pot sticker is funnier than steamed dumpling or fried dumpling.
Make sure you get the Kung Pao chicken after you get the White House roll.
That's right.
Yes.
Fruit fritters.
Now Oscar's trying and the whole thing is getting worse.
Yeah, Oscar. So, Jay, I find Oscar trying myself.
Oh,
you know what? Here,
I think
I can fix it, Mike. I think I can fix it.
Sheer patties.
There it is, sheer patties.
Oh, my God.
All right, getting back to your Facebook page. What is your cover page, and what is it all about? What is that Pablo Picasso cover page that you have been sporting?
Oh, you don't recognize that?
No.
That's the opening to You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx.
Of course you don't recognize it,
Mike. Of course. What show? When did that show go off the air?
Best of Groucho aired in the late 70s. Come on.
Oh, come on. The Best of Groucho. I never saw that growing up.
Yeah, because you were too busy smoking weed.
How dare you recognize
cool,
that?
I was too busy smoking weed with the cool kids.
Yeah, there you go.
Meanwhile, Rob was a hoe.
I think they're smoking marijuana outside. Honey! Honey! Sharon, put Groucho on!
We'll take a break.
Take me to my happy place.
Happy place right now.
Hey, Robert! Robert! Sit down in front of the TV. Groucho's on, and I got you your fried wontons.
We'll take a break sometime more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, are you a good TMOS listener or a bad TMOS listener? If you're a good listener, you've been shopping through our Amazon portal. That's good. We've gotten some feedback recently about people that have really been participating by shopping Amazon through the Mike O'Mara Show, and it really helps us. Anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. It might not seem like much to you. It's a tremendous thing to do for us.
Yes.
It's a great way to support this show, and it means we don't have to hold our hand out. All we ask you to do is go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. You can just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com. You can click on the Amazon panel, and it's there. And nothing changes. The prices are exactly the same. It's still the same great shopping you do on Amazon, but it helps us because we do get a tiny percentage. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. If you haven't done it yet, please do it. Here's another way you can get there. Click the Amazon button on our website, which I just told you, or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then all you do is shop like you normally would. It's simple, and it means the world to us. Thank you very much, and thanks for being a good listener. And really, I never get tired of people sharing the cool stuff that they buy through our Amazon page.
It's awesome.
It's really, really wonderful, and we thank you, thank you, thank you. So, yes, Rob, three Chinese restaurants on speed dial. And
that's exactly where they are. They're on. And why do you have to put them on speed dial, Mike, if you have all the numbers memorized? Because you call them all the time.
I will tell you.
You don't have
something.
Any memorized.
No, you're right, I don't.
Do you?
You know,
no, I don't have any restaurant numbers memorized.
It's tough. Still fat, but you know, there's like a little alarm that goes off now when I eat bad food, and I had bad food at the game yesterday.
What'd you have?
I had a slice of pizza and a hot dog. And
it's not that bad.
It was so good. It was such great bad food. You know, when you don't do it that often, and you get a good one, a good slice. It was just, and it wasn't phenomenal. It was just good. It was just good, cheap, crappy ballpark pizza.
What was on your hot dog?
The hot dog. I'm glad you asked because, incidentally, if you're going to have a hot dog, and by the way, this was the gourmet hot dog. There are only two things that I will put on a hot dog. That are absolutely
my mouth.
My mouth.
And you go up to the vendor and you say, "Pardon me, sir, I'd love one of your gourmet hot dogs because I intend to put my mouth on it."
Hey, didn't I see you at the old executive office building, Crab Rangoon? Hey, all right, I'm sorry. All right, there you go. Chili, if they have it. If they have it available,
yes.
Chili and that little cheese sauce that you would get on a Philly cheesesteak.
Like
that,
the pump kind, right?
Strong.
Don't need anything else. I don't need relish, mustard. I hate that. If you put that on a hot dog, That to me is.
Can I toss you a curveball here? How about sauerkraut on a hot dog?
No, I hate.
Really?
Carla loves sauerkraut. I hate sauerkraut in all its forms.
I have a quick question.
Like that. Yes, go right.
Rob, how many hot dog places do you have in your rotation?
Oh, let me see.
Do you go to the good one in Leesburg? What's the good one in Leesburg?
Oh, the one that is. Oh God, what is it?
Chicago Dog?
Yeah, is it Windy City Red Hots? I think it's called. I've never been there.
No, I have
never been there. Although I should.
The thing about the hot dog is, I think the hot dog can be
Burger King
hyped beyond
horrible.
Has anybody tried it?
Oh, they're horrible.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I did. Shocker. I went. Overpriced, stale bread, bad. No good.
You tried that.
Wait. There's two versions, right?
I got the one with chili.
Chili dog.
Yeah, I did. That's,
so tell me why it's horrible, because I was excited.
The dog
about
itself
it.
Is not a very high quality dog. You know how a good hot dog should have a little bit of snap to it?
Yes.
Almost like a skin, and then the meat feels like
mouth
meat.
Feel.
Yeah, and not like overly processed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a very good dog. They said it was a flame grilled dog.
Did it taste grilled?
No. I didn't even see any evidence of it. It was
see, the one
warm.
I had the ballpark was it had the grill marks on it.
See, that's what you want.
They were heating it without any water. They were just letting it sit in that little chafing dish, and it was warm.
That's
the
way.
They cooked them before, but it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And on a great bun with a little of the chili, and I said just a teeny, teeny, tiny little bit. I don't want it spilling all over the place.
Kiss it with the cheese.
I want to kiss it. You kiss it with that chili. You kiss it with that chili crab rangoon, and I want you to put that cheese sauce on it, too. There you go.
Kiss it.
If anyone ever says, kiss it with any type of condiment.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, they even make their food sound sexual.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is. You know?
But you know what? You mentioned
the first time the first time I ever heard sex and food compared was a buddy of mine, a Polish kid, Joe Chris. And by the way,
hey, Joe
the last
Chris.
Name was, it was not C-H-R-I-S. It was like one of those
K-R-Y-Z-C-K.
K-R-Y-S-T-Z-Z-Y-Z-Z.
Oh, like Christostomo.
And what you guarantee you that was shortened at the island. There's no way he came over here as Chris.
100%. And his family owned diners. And we're sitting there, and he was this bowling ball of a kid. And he said to me, so we went over, and I had the usual. I had my fries with gravy, and I'm sitting there, you know, from Connecticut. I go,
right.
Fries with gravy?
What could you possibly mean?
What do you mean, friendship? Are you telling me, ye old citizen?
Hello, John Adams. Are you telling me that you had French fries with gravy?
And he looked at me and said, you've never had French fries with gravy. I said, no. He said, you're kidding me. You've never had French fries with gravy. I am taking you to the Amsterdam diner. We are going to have French fries with gravy. Michael, he called me the full name like they all did. Michael, it's sex. It's sex. And so when he said that, it was very shortly thereafter that it may have even been that evening. We trundled off to the local. And by the way, in mid to upstate New York, the land of the diners, the greatest diners.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
They're everywhere, and you'll enjoy them up there. And we went, and I said, I will have the French fries with gravy. And the rhino behind the counter said, beef or turkey?
I said, the kind of gravy.
Yeah, I said, beef, please, beef. And they brought it out, and it was sex. It was the food equivalent of a wonderful love-making session. That's exactly what it was.
I love that, and this is what really, I could see this happening in a dorm room, right? You have this back and forth.
And he's like,
we are going right now.
It escalates.
And then he points to the guy with the car, he goes, and you're driving us.
Yep.
We're going.
Yep, absolutely. That's when, and Yarmo, on another road trip, Yarmo ate 15 Jack tacos at Jack in the Box.
Wow.
I rode in the car, and I was a freshman, and I rode in the car back with him. And it did not take long. Yarmo, and you know, we'd get drunk and go down and talk to the clown. It was fantastic.
That's almost guaranteed, regardless of the weather. That was a trip that was driven with the windows down.
Well, we'd have to go almost all the way down to Fishkill. It was a long trip down Route 9.
I think he suffered from Fishkill after he ate those tacos.
And we looked at it. A couple of times I was in the line, and I got into the whole spirit of the comedy of talking to the clown.
Yes.
So that I would be in the back seat, and somebody would order, you know, I'll have a Jack Taco and a medium Diet Coke. And then I would go to my window, and I would say, tell me something funny, clown. I was so happy to be with the Long Island upperclassmen. And I was just, tell me a joke, clown. Tell me a joke, clown.
I feel I wouldn't be doing my duty if I didn't ask you at this time.
Yes.
If the grease man was on a boat, named after that particular food item that he ate 15 of, what would he call it?
From the deck of the Jack Taco. May I give you a Florida wildlife update?
Please.
I never got to last week. Okay. There are the way they do elementary schools down here in Florida.
Optional, is, right?
They do.
So true.
Okay, now.
It's so true.
That gets the real laugh.
Thank
okay,
you.
Mr. Norton, you're the smarty pants.
He's the smarty pants.
So down here last week, there was a news story in the middle of the week after I got back, and the story goes like this. There are two elementary schools that my kid will have the choice of going to, and here's how they do it down here. They do what's called a lottery system. And within this lottery, there are two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is rated as a 10, which is a national standard. You know this, Rob. You've researched schools, right?
Yeah.
When your school gets a 10, it's exactly like a 10 woman. It's a beautiful
It
score.
Can't do
it's
any better.
Best.
And it normally gets extra funding. And so they're going to have better books, better teachers, everything.
I won't mention them by name because I don't want to make any enemies down here. But there's one that's a 10, and then there's the other one. And the other one is I am not exaggerating, is a 5.
Okay.
All right. So we are just now starting the exploratory process. And then they have these charter schools, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just
like here in the city, they have the same layout.
It's the same kind. Education, if you're not going private, and unfortunately, you know, I gave up that possibility when I started this fine podcast.
Understood.
But the fact, so private is out of the equation right now. And so it's a question of how you get the kids into these the good
either
school,
the charter school or the 10.
That's right,
the 10. Charter school or the 10. Because and by the way, yesterday we were coming back from the ballpark. We took a little shortcut and we drove by. I said, hey, there's the number 5 school over there. There it is.
Look, little Michael, it's Big Citrus Elementary.
Welcome to the Sugars Elementary. That's fantastic.
I enjoy that. Yeah. When we were looking for the place we were moving to now, a big deal was the rating of the elementary school, of how high or how low it was, right?
Yeah.
And it's a big deal.
And they sell on that.
I never thought of that.
People sell on that, too. Not just the buyers. They say, hey, you're going to go to these schools, right?
We had gone to dinner with another couple, and they had not stopped raving about the elementary school that their daughter was going to, and it was this one. So we're pretty much, but it's the luck of the draw.
Sure.
And then you got to make the, you have to make the adjustments. And I think you can try, if you don't get him one year, you can try another year. Daddy doesn't want to have to play the lottery that much.
No.
I just don't want
to. Well, you don't like to gamble as a rule.
Right. I'm thinking maybe just going over to the administrator of the school and charming them.
Oh,
I don't know. So
I played the cancer card to get Robert into the kindergarten class we wanted. Did you know
did
that?
You really?
He really did.
Did you really?
He did.
He was all set on schedule for afternoon kindergarten because you know they do daytime and afternoon.
And right, exactly. Robert was already in remission, right?
Oh yeah, I think. Yeah, no, he wasn't cured, but he was in remission.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's good. There's a difference, right? Explain that difference to people because they might not know.
Remission means that it's no longer advancing; it's under control.
Yes.
But he wasn't.
And you're still on the bubble, and you're waiting to see.
For the cure thing. So,
those blood tests.
So we moved from Fairfax County to Loudoun County, and had, of course, to change him to another school. And they put him in the AM kindergarten. Well, this didn't work with our schedule.
No,
because we had already designed the schedule around PM kindergarten. So I called. I believe I called the school, not the county, but the school, and introduced myself and said, "And if you look at his file, you'll see that he's undergoing chemotherapy right now for leukemia, and he just doesn't do well in the mornings. He's more of an afternoon child. If you could, if it's possible, could you move him to PM? Of course. Absolutely. We want the best learning experience for you." I said, "Thank you." And then I hung up the phone and went, "Ah!"
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I'm a big believer. I've done it to an extent that you play the cancer card, you play the bereavement card.
Yes.
I played it twice up in Boston with a rental car company and with JetBlue, and they were great about it, by the way. And I think Paul and my brother-in-law and my sister, they've done it. And people, look, you're going through some crap. You might as well, if you have to change schedules and do stuff,
find
you might as
the
well.
Silver lining.
There's a Seinfeld episode where Costanza is with Kramer and they hatch a plan for Costanza to go and visit his girlfriend or fiance at the time's grandfather that passed.
Right.
And Costanza is so cheap, he doesn't want to fly full price.
Right.
So Kramer says, how about this? We go and say you had a death in the family. It's not your family, but I'll pay for it because I'll get the flyer miles because I need those miles, but you go on the trip. So they go through this whole
the bereavement issue,
hodgepodge of getting a picture with the viewing.
Oh, no.
Because he couldn't ask the family for the death certificate. And he goes up to the counter and says, see this picture? That's me at the funeral.
You see this picture?
That's so funny. George Costanza does that. Getting back to the whole thing with the elementary school. In the news this week, huge story. This massive bear forced the evacuation of the entire elementary school.
Oh,
and they finally got it. And the bear, by the way.
The 5 or the 10?
This is the 10.
Oh,
it was at
even
the 10.
Worse.
Oh, that's bad security. Well,
closer to the rural environment, though. You know, it's like beautiful scenery. Anyway, so the bear had gone up into this tree, and it was too high. This huge bear, it was too high for them to get it with tranquilizers.
Oh,
and then
no.
When it came down, I watched this whole story. I said, hey, that's the 10. That's at the 10 elementary school right there. I can't believe it. The bear finally came down low enough where they tranquilized it, and they show this massive black bear being dragged out by the Florida wildlife people, and they moved it to a safer location. You know, I'm not sure exactly where they moved it to.
I know where they moved it to. To the 5 school.
To the 5.
They put him in the industrial arts lab.
You like schools? Troll this area.
It was fascinating to me. And then the next one was, I give you Florida wildlife updates, a family of otters. Over the weekend, I watched them playing in the pond, and I watched the entire family of otters scamper out of the pond and make their way across the golf course into the wood. And it was a very lovely, bucolic little nature scene.
Pretty vicious.
Apparently, if they are raising young and you get into their territory, a young man who was wading in a lake or a river or whatever was attacked by one of the female otters and got pretty well cut up. They can cause some damage.
Do you see the baby otters jump on the mom and just float on them? Because I've seen videos of
that. The baby otters that she was with, it was obviously a family, and they were all grown enough where they trundled off into the woods together. And they're just fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I really love that. I mean, I get a ton of that.
Well, creatures in water is always neat.
Yes.
Because they handle themselves so cool, so slick.
And speaking of that, I was out by my onesies playing a little golf just by myself, and the very back tee, as I'm driving up, I see Wally Gator coming across. Same Wally Gator that's been there for 2 years.
One eyeball?
He was fine. And I looked at him.
And he must be pretty big by now if you've been following him for 2 years.
I've never seen him move quicker. And he went to the back tee, climbed up this little hill, and actually sat right on the golf tee. And he is, I would say now, 6.5 to 7 feet long.
Whoa.
Wow.
When
that's
they
what
get
you gotta
to be
tell,
like 8 or 9 feet, that's when they yank him out usually.
Oh, yeah. It's like, who do you talk to about that, right?
I think that
Big Gator.
I think probably the guys that maintain the golf course kind of keep an eye on it. But talk about territorial. There are no other gators in here. It's just him, and he's been hanging out. What are you laughing at?
I just pictured that when they go back in the clubhouse, in the back of the actual country club, they have a guy that's in an office.
Right.
Like, he looks like Joe Dirt. And like, hey, Joe, it's time to get that gator off the 18th hole.
Yeah, Mrs. Johnson complained, Joe. You gotta go out and get him. Yeah. Look, no, I know you think he's got another year. No, he's too big now. You gotta go get him right now. I swear to God, I could lie to you, but I'm not gonna do that right now.
Or it's Bill Murray.
We lost another widow.
Well, unfortunately, Mrs. Craig got a little too close to the shrubbery on hole number 5 and was dragged into the water by that nasty Wally Gator. But I told her you're wearing green. It's an attractive color to your mind, Gator. The American alligator is traditionally attracted to green. And if you get too close to the side by the pond, they're going to drag you right in. And, of course, it's not the teeth or the blood or the blood loss that kills you. It's the infection from the dirty alligator's teeth that they're having. Which, by the way, is a true. That's the way I
really
is it true?
I heard that your real problem with getting attacked by a gator, if you survive the initial, is the infection of a gator bite. Is that their mouths are your mouths? You basically just symphonies of bacteria. There,
they run into that a lot. Also, with the students at that elementary school that got the five,
Yeah.
A lot of bacteria.
Okay, well there you went and did it. You identified the name of the elementary school, Bacteria Elementary. that's what it is. Yeah. that's right next door. Well, the middle school is close by. Headlice Prep.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's what, Headlice Prep is there, too. So, that's your Florida update. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need, including a little ditty about that Easter egg hunt that we talked about before. We'll be right back.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I, as you know, am Wolfman Jack.
Well, Wolfman Jack is dead, but we've got Surf, one of the biggest radio DJs of all time.
And he's very much alive.
Very much alive. This guy is going to tell us about meeting George Harrison, hanging out with Keith Richards.
He knew everybody.
Also in this episode, Gary gives me grief about my car yet again.
Never ending.
Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
And buy a ticket for the improv.
Yeah.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Tracker. We got our trackers in the O'Mara household. It's fantastic. Oh, cool. What is Tracker? Well, you lose your keys all the time, don't you? You lose all sorts of stuff. Tracker is a coin-sized device that locates misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers, anything, and it does it in seconds. If you're one of these people like me, where you're constantly placing stuff in the wrong spot, and you're in a hurry, and you want to run outside, and you don't know where stuff is, you need Tracker, especially my keys. I love having Tracker on my keys. If you lose your phone, just press the button on Tracker, and your phone will ring, so it goes both ways.
Yes.
It just sounded like Arnold. And your phone will ring. It's that easy. It really
is. Even if your phone is on silent. That's the cool thing about it. Yeah.
Over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item will show up on a map, even if it's miles away. Never lose anything again, thanks to Tracker. It's beautiful. It's tiny. I'll bring my Tracker in tomorrow, and I'll show you it on the show. It's really, really great. TMOS listeners get a special 30% discount off their entire order. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's TheTracker.com. The hardest thing you'll ever have to find is their website. Go to thetracker.com right now and use the code. And what do you get? I'll tell you what you get. You get 30% off, people. That is an incredible deal. That's thetracker.com, code TMOS.
News.
A new survey found a lot of kids spend less time outside on an average day than prison inmates.
Wow.
I'm not surprised. Are you surprised at this? I'm really not.
It actually makes a little bit of sense with the way modern stuff is.
How long is recess these days?
I think aren't they phasing recess out into a lot of schools?
They?
Isn't that the way that's done?
Well, both my kids are in middle and high, so there's no recess anymore.
Oh, that's right.
So I don't know. It used to be, I think, 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
I will be honest with you. When my kid is, because he's around and there are all sorts of critters around here, I don't have him outside a lot of the time. And I have to ask the preschool exactly how long their playtime outside is. I don't think it's an inordinate amount of time that they play outside. It says here 1 in 3 kids between 5 and 12 years old play outside for around 30 minutes. Meanwhile, the UN guidelines require that prisoners get at least 1 hour a day out of doors.
Mike, as they say, in the yard. Let them go in the yard.
Not my prison shank.
I remember when I went to that preschool, Andy Dufresne was walking through his yard, taking his wall outside. Anyway, here we go. Here's the story. Story of the day. Story that got me talking at the beginning of the show. Pez Candy sponsored an Easter egg hunt in Orange, Connecticut. I've been to Orange.
Is it beautiful?
Is it a five school?
Not my favorite. Not my favorite.
I bet Mac would like it.
It was Saturday morning, and it turned into chaos because the parents couldn't control themselves. There were 9,000 eggs planted. Okay, there's the first problem, Rob. You kind of alluded to that in the beginning of the show.
It's big egg, Mike.
It's big egg. 9,000 eggs planted around 3 different fields. But while the kids waited patiently to start hunting, their parents stormed the field.
Of course they did.
The adults started grabbing eggs, knocking over kids, and shoving each other. Pez issued a statement afterwards apologizing for what happened. Quote, due to the actions of a few, the good intent quickly turned into a mess. We only wanted to do good for the local community. Fortunately, there weren't any injuries reported, and as far as we know, no one was arrested.
Can you imagine being in one of the high-powered newsrooms around the world, like CNN, and they say,
right,
the press release is here from the Pez people.
Yes.
Clear the docket.
Right now. Let's get Wolf on with that right away. The bad reviews didn't stop anyone, including, can you give us your own review tomorrow, Oscar?
Absolutely.
Santana? But everyone went to see Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. It pulled in $170.1 million over the weekend, which was good enough for a number one at the box office and a few records along the way. It's the biggest pre-summer opening ever, beating the original Hunger Games.
Wow.
Which had a $152.2 million March opening. It also is the highest opening for a Batman movie. The previous record holder was The Dark Knight Rises with $160.9 million. We will get a full review on tomorrow's show with Oscar Santana. I don't want to know.
I think you would like it.
Really?
I think you would like it. I won't tell you why, and I'll give you the review tomorrow, but I think you would like it.
Hey, you like these kind of movies.
Batman.
Rob, did you see anything over the weekend?
I watched The Ten Commandments, Mike.
I want that tomorrow, too. Swear to God, I'm being honest. There will be two female coaches on The Voice for the first time ever next season, and they aren't Christina Aguilera and Gwen Stefani. Instead, they're getting some new blood.
Hey, you heard about this? I have not, but I think it's about time.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
And Alicia Keys.
Oh, nice.
They're not technically totally new to the show. Alicia served as a mentor for Pharrell's team a couple of years ago, and Miley is an advisor this season. Adam Levine and Blake Shelton will be back as the other two coaches, because if they didn't, they wouldn't be relevant.
Exactly.
They've been on board for every season since the show started. Season 11 will air this fall. And
they must be cashing in.
So Miley's an advisor, you see.
Also, think about this. Their albums continue to sell.
Well, it's like a commercial every week.
It's like a commercial every week for that music.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. It's a good thing to be a part of. According to a new survey, ladies and gentlemen, 30% of us don't test drive a car now until we already know the make and model we want. That sounds legit to me.
It's a matter of using your time wisely.
Research on the web.
Obviously, we are doing a lot of research online, but the test drive is still important. So here are four things you should know when you test drive a car that you might not think about. Number one, don't use any stupid puns.
No, now stop it.
I'm sorry. There we go. No. Number one on
Where's
your
the
test drive.
Where's the crab rangoon go?
Hey. Executive office building, Crab Rangoon.
I wonder if this car can make it to three Chinese restaurants on one tank of gas.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
And the fourth meal.
Pot stickers. Okay, number one is bring someone with you. That seems logical, doesn't it?
Sure.
It is good to have a second opinion, and they also might notice things you don't, like how big or small the back seat is, because obviously it would be too taxing if you were by yourself to actually open the door to the back of the car to look and see how big. That's stupid.
Well, you need a second person to know if the big seat is big enough to make love.
Making whoopee. Number two, ask the salesman for a longer test drive. They won't say no if they think you might buy the car. Well, that could maybe get you a whole weekend.
Sure.
Have you ever had the test drive that they let you have the car for a couple of days?
I think that's new.
Never for any sales, no.
I've never asked for that before.
Yeah. I think I got that one time. Maybe one time. Might have been a radio thing. I'm not sure. Ask the salesman for a longer test drive. They won't say no if they think you might buy a car. Obviously, it gives you more time to figure out what you like and don't like about it. So that's number two. Number three, don't just drive on smooth roads. This is nice. I like this. This is actually information. Find some rougher roads, too, so you can get a feel for how bumpy the suspension is. And curves are good also, so you can see how it handles. I think that's mm-hmm. You notice a lot of times on a test drive, a salesman will take you that standard
prescribed
box,
route. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the way that goes.
Just go over any bridge in the District of Columbia.
Yeah, really.
And now number four. This is the last one, and this to me is the most problematic. Parallel park. I'm not sure I'd have the guts to do this. Obviously, you don't want to bump into any other cars, so pick a big space. But this is a good thing to do because it forces you to notice where all the blind spots are. I think that's pretty interesting.
The city forces you to parallel park on a regular basis.
It does,
right?
Yep. You used especially to have to do it to like get your driver's license.
You used to be required. You don't have to do it anymore?
No, not to get your license anymore.
Oh, it's amazing. Softening.
That's a, you know, one of the rare times on News You May Not Know, we might have even given you information. It's spectacular. And now a little something, something. I love these. I have to put on the announcer anchor voice I'm doing this. A Siamese cat named Cupcake survived a 260-mile journey through the mall. I'm sorry. Let me start that
Please.
Again, ladies and gentlemen. Let me, Mr. O'Meara, we'll start that, okay? A Siamese cat named Cupcake survived a 200... Let me do it again one more time. Sorry about that. A Siamese cat named Cupcake survived a 260-mile journey through the mail after she fell asleep inside a shipping box with DVDs. The female cat fell asleep in a box in England as her owner was packing it. She arrived 8 days later, dehydrated and nervous, but otherwise, okay. Since Cupcake had an identifying microchip, the person who received the box was able to find Cupcake's owner. Here's the quote. When I realized she was missing 2 weeks ago, it was the most horrible, scary feeling. I feel terrible about what's happened because I put everything in a box and sealed it straight away. So I don't know how she managed to get in there, but Cupcake did. The really good news is not only did Cupcake survive in the box with the DVDs, but now Cupcake is an expert on 90s porn. Take a break. Back with more fun and more
Cupcake.
Thrills. Cupcake, watching the DVDs of 90s porn. Oh, was she back in the 90s?
I don't know.
Meow and a heavy.
All right, we'll take a break and come back. We're mentioning old porn stars. We're probably, Rob and I are probably both in the 70s on that porn.
Probably, yeah.
We'll take a break, come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show. Oh, the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak Rangoon right after this.
Hi, this is the Internet's Steve Mermelstein. Perhaps you know me from The AmeriCast, where Marcus Serta serves as my sidekick. But I'm here to tell you about it.
Really sorry. Rob?
Yes?
You know that bullwhip you keep under the desk? You got to take that bullwhip up, start calling the affiliate guys. You know, they got to generate some new stuff, all right? Serta especially.
I agree.
He's slacking.
He is a slacking,
is slacking.
Marcus Slacka.
You let Mr. Serta know. Mr. Serta knows that there would be, and I'm going to, you know, we're going to get inundated when I say this, but I got to say this. A few other people out there might be real interested in doing that show.
Oh, snap.
Have you ever had your passion threatened?
Yeah, there you go. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, if you like this, you'll love our bonus shows. Each and every week, we record a sixth episode of the show, uncensored, commercial-free, and it can be yours if you subscribe to the 2016 TMOS Bonus Package. Subscribe for a full year of bonus, and you'll get full access to all of the 2016 bonus content and access to the entire bonus show anthology, and you save over 25%. It's all waiting for you at MikeO'MearaShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS Bonus. Bonus packages, and if you've been holding back just because we're already a few months into the year, don't you fret. When you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up. With our special feed creator, you can even access content from iTunes or pretty much any other podcast app in town. It couldn't be easier. So whether you want to buy it or give it or renew it, click that bonus banner and get her done. The TMOS bonus package, order it today. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault. Oh, I'm going to close it. Now I'm going to open it louder.
There Better.
Nice.
Here's Rob Spiewak. Take it away. And how's our new board working, guys? How's all that today?
It's
pretty good?
Fun, man.
Yeah.
It's really
Don't
cool.
want to get happy. But
no,
it's...
but I will say this. You sound dynamite. Yeah. This is very much fun. This is a great
very
advancement.
Good. All right.
Let's speaking of advancement, one of the greatest people to advance the science of broadcasting is, of course, Don Lemon. I know he's a favorite of yours. He had a great moment with, do you remember Omarosa?
John Lemon.
The Apprentice.
Yeah, maybe from season one of The Apprentice. Apparently,
top three.
She's still sticking around. Great moment. She was booked because, of course, this is who you use the opinion you want on CNN Tonight with Don Lemon. And
what were they talking about? Trump?
I think they were just going to talk about the political race in general.
Yeah.
And he led, of course, he led with Trump. And
of course he does, because Don Lemon is fused to Trump. He's one of the reasons Trump has gotten the kind of coverage he's gotten.
And this is a marvelous, awkward moment on CNN. I think you'll enjoy it.
Omarosa.
Hi, Don.
You first.
Hi, Don.
This Twitter war between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz this week was over. It's over the top, really. What's your opinion of the retweet of the Heidi Cruz and Melania Trump pictures?
Well, I don't think we should start there. We should start with the fact that a super PAC that supports
No.
Cruz
I want to know
Donald
what your
Trump's
opinion
wife.
Is. I'm not going to let you do
and
that.
Don, let
I'm not
going to
let you
I'm
do
gonna
that.
Answer
I'm
that.
Omarosa, stop.
I'm going to answer that. Amoroso, stop. He's going to come back for you. Everybody, cut the mic.
We're not doing that. I want everyone on this panel to answer the question directly. Then I will let you.
But you can ask questions, but you can't answer them, Don.
Okay.
You can ask them, but I have to answer them.
Okay, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
I will.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
I like
good
the other
lady on the
good.
I'm going to give him a little credit.
Yes.
I'm going to give him a little credit.
Yes,
why not?
Yes, yes.
Why not? He was trying to eliminate the spin, and that's fine. She could have gotten to her spin, but he was. You got to get to it on,
it's
on
his
the agenda.
Show.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Don Lemon might have just raised up a little, you know, notch in my book. You
However,
know?
It yes. shouldn't have been that awkward, and it should have gone smoother that's, because he mishandled
that's
it.
That's the producer's part.
That is the producer's part. You're right. You're right.
The whole thing is insanity with the way this has gone down in into the gutter. And I just think right now, and by the way, next week, I've been through it, as you know, so I want to get back. I do want to do another Political Persuasion
cool.
show, and I will be taping the next episode of Political Persuasions next week, and I want to talk about how it's shaken loose. We may have some more clarity by next week. Right now, you know, when you're talking about Bernie Sanders, you're talking about Ted Cruz, it's still kind of up in the air. Nothing is an absolute certainty just yet, and I find that fascinating. So that's what we'll be.
You brought up Bernie Sanders. Did you see the bird land on his podium?
Pretty funny.
I loved it.
That if he or she does their schoolwork seriously,
Sounds good.
Oh.
That's the bird.
And a sparrow. A little sparrow.
A little sparrow. It's the bird of peace.
Lands on his podium.
I know it doesn't look like it, but that bird is really a dove asking us for world peace.
Or they thought he was dead and they were coming to pick his carcass.
Or a sizey enough piece of dandruff fell off his head that they thought it was a breadcrumb.
Or
all of these are possible.
Or perhaps that lovely sparrow was coming down to my podium to give me a lozenge.
Maybe it's like one of those cats that sleeps in nursing homes and the people die the next day. The cat that
what if it was a prison pigeon?
A prison pigeon.
With a lozenge.
Look at that. Did you see the crowd in back of him going absolutely badass?
Well, because they were bored out of their skulls.
Oh, they were all high.
Yeah, but the funny thing about it, and a lot of people talked about this online, that was in Portland, Oregon that happened.
Yes.
And there's that horrible improv-style show, Portlandia.
Yeah.
And they have a sketch, apparently a recurring sketch, called Put a Bird on It.
Hi, I'm Bryce Shivers.
Hi, I'm Lisa Eversman.
And we put birds on things. Today we're going to go to a store on Mississippi Avenue. Nothing has birds on it, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to put birds on things.
Spruce it up. Make it pretty.
The thing about Portlandia, and I've given it a lot of tries,
It's like a bad Saturday Night Live sketch
going wild. If you try really hard and apply yourself, it's almost
Todd
funny.
Todd loves it.
It gets so close.
And does Todd love Portlandia?
He threw it on for me, I think, 2 years ago, and I said, all right, I'm ready. And I sat there, I said, I thought we were friends. Because I didn't get it.
All right, Mike, let's go to the Old Man News Network. There's a guy named Steve Smith in Camino, California. He lives on Glory Hole Drive.
Oh, no, really?
And he is sick and tired of people stealing the road sign that says Glory Hole Drive.
I think the juveniles or young people say, well, it's a sexual connotation, so they're going to take the sign. Who knows where it went? Some kids got in his bedroom or college dorm or I don't know. We moved down from Alaska, and our street name up there was Smoke Bowl. Yeah, I don't know who took the sign, but, you know, they wanted it pretty bad. We had the smoke pole sign up in Alaska taken twice.
Oh, they kept taking smoke poles.
Is that shtick? Is that The Onion, or is that a real news story?
No, that's a real news story right there.
He lived on smoke pole, and then he lived on Glory Hole Drive.
I don't know. I think it speaks to the man.
I had a friend who lived on right up the street from my parents' house on Morningwood Lane.
Yes.
And I would say at least every semester you would go and you'd know you'd make a right on the street sign that didn't have
that
the sign
there.
Anymore that wasn't there because that was Morningwood.
All right, you want to get to Glory Hole, you take a left on Morningwood Lane and move right up the street next to
Glory Hole.
Smoke pole.
Forgive
there
me.
You go. Yeah, fantastic. Enjoy yourself, everybody.
Well, congratulations to the people of Cuba that got the Rolling Stones this weekend.
Yes. Beautiful sights.
Free concert, and you know what? I've seen some badly mic'd captures of their concert, but I think as a rule, the Stones are still getting it done. Yep, keep in mind, these are like 90-year-old guys.
And all the people there, they got to see them for the very first time.
Oh, it was outlawed. Yeah. It was outlawed in the 60s. That was very pretty cool. I like the fact that the Stones are still doing it. I don't think I'll ever go see them again, but it's nice to see them on TV.
Absolutely.
And in this horrible era of television, there's a show called Little Big Shots that's hosted by Steve Harvey. He interviews kids.
Steve Harvey.
It's an old format.
It's the number one show on television. It's
essentially he has the golden touch right now. He is truly hotter than hot.
It's essentially like the old Art Linkletter show from the 1950s.
Well, he's
and
perfect
60s.
For it.
He is.
He's perfect. He has reincarnated those kind of personalities. And I don't begrudge Steve Harvey his incredible success because he's great at it. And he's choosing his vehicles like a genius.
Brilliant. Someone said, that, I think it was on the Nightly News. Your panning of it, but someone said that it's nice to have something to watch with the whole family.
And it is. It's pretty well done. You know what?
I haven't seen it yet, but I look forward to seeing it with my wife.
It's vanilla. It's jive, but it's entertaining. This was my favorite moment from the most recent episode. Talking to a little kid that wants to be a chef.
So you want to be a chef? What kind of chef?
Like a cooking chef.
A cooking chef. You know, kids, what they do is they make you realize how dumb of a question you actually ask. What type of chef? A cooking chef. What? You know another kind, Steve? So, like, what would be a great place to be a chef?
Benihana's or...
You want to be at Benihana's and do all of the...
Oh, that's cute.
Well, what would you cook?
Soup.
Soup? Have you been to Benihana's? You know they cook on that big steel.
Yeah.
You gonna just pour that soup on there and just then just flip it in their bowl like that. Sorry, ma'am. Sorry, getting a little. Sorry, it's soup.
It's an art, man, but he knows how to do it. That is your magic audio vault, Mike. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone, everybody. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with our show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into our mailbag, send it along to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. How's everybody doing with that? I never ask because we always have it full up.
Chock
you
full.
Okay? You need to goose it at all? Or no?
They're doing good. Remember, folks, more content, less requests for impressions. We want to hear from you. We don't want to make Mike dance. We want to hear your thoughts. But yeah, send those letters in.
Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And don't forget to take our survey. Just click the banner ad at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Right to the end today. Anyway, for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Impressions.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.